Good time of the day, ladies and gentlemen. I'm your host, Leo Nikishin, and this is 10 Rolls of Film Photography Podcast. So today I wanted to talk a bit about printing. And to give you some context, in the last episode I mentioned that one of the issues with making a zine or a zine, whichever one it is, will be that I don't have a printer, so I'll have to get a shop to print it for me. And that's sort of made me think, actually, why don't I have a printer? And that combined with some other influences, one of them was Ted Vieira's episode of Photography Matters podcast that was dedicated to printing and to how it gives a different dimension to a photograph and different meaning. And that really resonated with me. And also, there is a PrintSwap initiative by Dustin Coxdale. He runs a photography group on Facebook dedicated to that, which I think is great because there's something so much more personal about getting a print from a person rather than a link to a file. And then there is Mike Gutterman from the Negative Positives Film Photography podcast with his recent print torture test and also his reports about printing for the his annual art fair, and I really enjoyed listening to all of those and seeing the results online. And at some point, all of those influences combined became enough of a force to make me go, yeah, okay, I should get a printer. And get a printer I did, but that printer and the whole odyssey surrounding it will be the subject of the next episode. And just small hint, that odyssey is very far from over, so we'll see how that goes. But today I just wanted to share some thoughts of mine about printing and about how it influences photography, or rather how the lack of printing influences photography. I hope you find these little thoughts interesting. So the first one, and it's kind of the most obvious one, so let's get it out of the way, is that there is a tactile nature, there's a tangible nature to the print, which obviously none of the digital media can ever have, basically. So there is that. To be honest, I don't really care that much about that aspect. Like, I don't really care about the feeling of the paper. I care about it in a photo book. That's a different situation. But in a singular print, I actually kind of don't. But I do realize, I do recognize that there's something satisfying about holding something in your hands rather than just looking at its digital depiction. The second, and I think much more important factor, is the display size. And this has to do with the fact that nowadays most people use, you know, the most popular photography sharing platforms, those being inevitably Facebook and Instagram, from their phones. And phones will mostly have screens under 6 inches in diagonal. And even if you are using a laptop or a tablet, chances are those are under 15 inches as well. And even if you are using a large monitor on a desktop, neither Facebook nor Instagram will allow you to actually see the image full screen. They will open it a little bit bigger, but far from full screen. And also they heavily resize it, so there's a quality loss and resolution loss that's inevitable. And I think it has led to certain changes in general trends of photography. And I think photographers compose their images, construct their images differently, because they know that the reality is that their beautiful multi-megapixel or medium or large format film shots will be displayed on a tiny screen in a non-color managed environment and with a loss of resolution. So naturally they take it into account, especially if those photographers use online sharing as means of marketing and promoting themselves. And simply by scrolling through Instagram, it's not difficult to notice what elements actually do well in this scenario. And something that survives, you know, being displayed on a small screen and with lots of resolution is larger elements. So, you know, for example, portraits, the most popular ones and the most popular trends will often be not full length. They will be headshots, head and shoulder, or waist level, or something like that. Larger elements win because it's a small screen, and anything smaller will inevitably be less effective visually. Another one is use of increased contrast and increased saturation, because there's just more popping. And the reality is that a large print doesn't necessarily need the same amount of popping to be effective, because the size sort of involves the viewer at a different level, and there's no need to jump out. But if it's a small screen and if it's a small photograph, then brighter colors and more saturation and more contrast will be naturally more eye-catching. That's just how our vision is designed. In the same vein, something like graphic lines and strong geometry is also effective, again, because it doesn't depend on resolution, it doesn't depend on screen size. So those still work pretty well, and it's very evident if you just spend some time on photography groups on Facebook or on Instagram that those are indeed popular. Something that does not survive smaller screens and less resolution and lack of color management in case of color photography is detail, finer detail and textures, and just smaller objects, smaller elements of composition in general. And as an example, my brother-in-law is a wonderful landscape photographer, living and creating in St. Petersburg these days. He's a large format shooter, and he shoots 8x10, mostly slide. And I've seen some of his shots, you know, which were professionally processed and drum scanned and printed, you know, multiple meters wide in a professional photo lab. And it's amazing because there's so much detail. And I don't just mean technical detail. I also mean artistic detail. You get to notice things that you just don't see on a screen. And, you know, it takes time to just walk through the entire photograph and see all these elements and see how they interact. And I think it's a dimension that inevitably gets lost with the screen size. And, for example, I talked with him about, you know, promoting his work on Facebook and on Instagram. And we arrived at the conclusion that, yeah, it's not really going to work. It's not really going to show people why they should, you know, spend quite a lot of money buying his prints, because unless you see them, you don't really understand what it is that makes it special. So I think by this token, a certain layer of photography is somewhat neglected because it's just not viable for online viewing. And I think that's a shame, and it's something that we should recognize, and that's something that can be elevated a little bit by printing. Of course, you know, most of us are not going to buy plotter printers that can print multiple meters wide, but still, even an A3 or A3 plus, something like 13 by 19, I guess, in inches, is already enough of a difference with most screens and most even laptops to show a different level of detail and different level of compositional complexity, so to speak. I'm gonna take a short break, drink some water, and back to it. And the next one I wanted to mention, the next point, is that a print, unlike a photograph that you see online, can actually be viewed and perceived and judged on its own. Because everything that we see on the screens around us is just part of a huge, I wouldn't even call it flow, I would call it flood of visual information. And, you know, our brains are not designed to completely discard what we just saw. And so everything gets mixed together. You know, someone reposts a great picture from one of the great photographers of the past, and then there is a, you know, your friend's photograph of their lunch, and then there is a new photograph in a style that you don't know, and by person you don't necessarily know, and it's probably something interesting, but you just don't have the time and you don't have the capability to single it out and just see it by itself. So everything is crammed together, and so I think our perception is not anywhere as clear as it can be when things are viewed individually. I think this is hugely important. And there is a photograph of mine that I got printed at about 30 by 45 centimeters size, and it's hung on my wall. And I've never actually liked that picture that much. But since I printed it, because my girlfriend really likes it, and I printed it as a present for her, actually. But since we got it printed, I keep walking past that photograph, and just by itself, it's a different photo. It's a different shot. And actually, that relates to the next point that I wanted to make, which is, I think a print has a much higher chance of being viewed again. Just think of it. Ask yourself, when was the last time you saw an image online on any platform and you thought it was a great image? You probably put a like to it, maybe you even left a comment, and if you really loved it, maybe you even followed that person, which is like the highest recognition possible. But how many times have you done all that and then sometime later went back, found that image, and viewed it again? Like, how, when was the last time you consciously made that effort to see that image? Not because the person reposted it somewhere else, not because it just popped up. No. When did you purposefully, intentionally, consciously go and do that? And I asked myself that question, and I don't think I've done that almost ever. And it has nothing to do with the quality of the images that I see in my feed. It's not like they're not worth it. It's just that, first of all the online platforms are designed specifically so that you see, most and foremost, the latest. But also, there is just something so tedious about going and finding them. Of course, you can just remember who it's by, and you can go to their portfolio, to their personal page, and there it will be. But it just doesn't feel like a natural part of online experience, does it? And I think with prints, it's very different, and it's beautifully different. So that's something that I'm really looking forward to with printing. Finally, this is, again, a fairly obvious one. When you see a print, you don't get influenced by how other people reacted to the photograph. You don't see likes, you don't see comments, you don't see how many followers or subscribers the photographer that posted the photograph has. You don't see technical information or explanation of how the shot was taken. I'm not saying that's not useful, because in some instances it definitely is, but it doesn't help the photograph itself. I think there is great if there is a story to the photograph, but I think that photograph is primary and the story is secondary. Unless it's an article, unless it's a photo story, then obviously the rules are different. So that's it for today. These were my thoughts on why printing might matter. Join me next week, hopefully, for the next episode, which will be all about the printer that I got and my adventures with it so far. I do not know what will happen in the week between now and the next episode, so it'll be a surprise for everybody. As always, subscribe, follow. You can find me on Instagram as 10 Rolls of Film. You can also find me on Negative Positives Film Photography Podcast Facebook group as Leonid Nikishin. There is also a blog of mine, 10rollsoffilm.wordpress.com. That's 10 as in 10 numbers. Yeah, keep shooting film. It's fun and it's worth it. Cheers.